You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
I'm so excited today. Pastor Tool, I mean, you know, the world to me. You guys know if there's been one of the greatest spiritual influences and the reason even that I'm here today and a lot of even mannerisms and just my greatest spiritual mentor throughout the years, before I came into ministry was Pastor Tool. You know, he showed me just by watching him what a good pastor looks like, what a faithful pastor that really doesn't look like himself, you know, but looks like Jesus. If there's a man that I can say has taught me just what it looks like to be a man of God, there it is right there. Faithful, 30 years. And I don't say that to... You know, he's always been so cautious and so careful to always give God the glory, you know, and you know how we are here. It's to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And so I'll say this, listen intently. I'm excited. God is going to work. We're going to, just plan to be back every service as we walk through Nehemiah. It's going to be great. But I'm going to open in a word of prayer, and then Pastor Tool is just going to come right on up. Father, I love you, and I feel so blessed to be able to be here today just to soak in your word. And I do pray that you just be with Pastor in a special way, and Miss Charlene, and as they're here, just pray that you would revive them and bless them in a special way. But I pray that our hearts would be open, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what your Holy Spirit is trying to communicate through us, through the richness of your word. I pray that you would be with Pastor, strengthen him, empower him now. May your spirit flow freely through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 6. And I love your pastor. I love his family. We miss him at Rosedale Baptist Church. And just who he is, but what a beautiful area you guys are in. I'm not surprised that when I asked Pastor yesterday, do you still love the area? After 5 years, which is above average, the average pastor stays in a place 3.7 years, and so congratulations on that as the 5 years is coming up. But without hesitation, man, I love it. I love this area. Love the church, love the people, and I can see why. Just all of the wide open spaces. Last year, when we were driving to the pictured canyons, pictured rocks, something like that, there was a bear that walked across the road in front of us. And I mean, wow, we're not in Baltimore anymore. That bear. On the way to coffee this morning, so I saw a herd of geese off to the side, Canadian, I'm assuming, geese off to the side. But then about halfway there in a distance, and I love the roads. Just the effort that was put into naming the roads. I was on 3 Mile Road and then on 6 Mile Road, and I passed 4 Mile Road. And and so I was on one of those roads. You can see off in a distance, and it looked like a small child that was standing in the center of the road, and so I'm slowing up, and it's not moving at all. And when I get there, it's a turkey that wasn't moving. I think he turned and gave me a hard stare and just said, you're not from around. Anyway, and so they finally just kind of went off to the side of the road. But we have wildlife and animals in Baltimore, but it's usually in human form. And it's just neat to see just the majesty, glories of God, that the nature that God has provided for you guys, and praise the Lord for that. I think that the majority of revival is the preparation for revival. And if there wasn't any preaching in the revival, there still would be a revival. All the prayers and the fasting and the seeking God's face, it makes my job easy because you're already experiencing revival, and that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. And so we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 6. I want to start at the end. And then we're going to backfill what got them there to Nehemiah chapter 6. But let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time that this church, your church, these people, your people, have set aside to just draw closer to you, to seek your face, to want to embrace what your will is for them. Lord, we do pray that we'll hear from heaven, that the still small voice of God, your voice will thunder in our hearts. And God, we will give you the praise. Bless them and uplift, strengthen them, and do use these few short days to be an encouragement. And God, we will be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so the context, we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 6. But in 586, Jerusalem basically was sacked. It was burned to the ground. Solomon's temple was destroyed. And that's what began the Babylonian captivity. And of course, we know in 2 Chronicles it says because they weren't tithing off the land. They weren't tithing off the land. And for 490 years, the seventh year was the Lord's. The Sabbath is the Lord's. And if we don't willingly give it to the Lord, then God says it's still mine. And so they went into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. The Persian Empire ended up defeating the Babylonians. And Cyrus, it was Nebuchadnezzar for Babylon. And now Cyrus for Persia began releasing people back to Jerusalem because they were taken from that city, burned down, that temple, Solomon's temple destroyed. And so Cyrus began letting them go back. And of course, Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest at the time, Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. He rebuilt the temple almost exactly 70 years after the temple was destroyed. And of course, Zerubbabel's temple ends up being Herod's temple as Herod expanded it. And then that's destroyed in 70 AD by Rome, Titus. But Zerubbabel went back and he rebuilt the temple, but the city was still without walls. The city was still without walls. And a city that is without walls is basically already defeated, already done. In fact, it became a euphemism in that day, not having walls, not having walls. And we know the verse, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls. And so it was a euphemism in a city that's going to be destroyed, that is already defeated. People could come in and loot and plunder and destroy them again. And Nehemiah, who was in Shushan, which was part of the Persian Empire, remember, it's not Babylon now, it's Persia that defeated them. And so Nehemiah was there when word came to him, burdened by it, was called by God to do it. And he ended up traveling all the way from Shushan, the palace, to Jerusalem to begin that project, to begin that building. And it's interesting to me, Nehemiah, we're going to start in the middle, of course, but the results of the build, it wasn't about the build. It was about so much more than that. And it's never just about a building. It's always about so much more than that. And so the second half, revival that God gave and the refreshment that God gave. And so we're going to look at today, why build? Why build? And before you make the mistake to think all we're talking about is a facility, we're always in a building program. We're always in a building program personally. We're to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. The book of Jude, verse number 20. In fact, Acts chapter 20 says, the word of his grace is able to build us up. And so we should be in a building program personally, letting God renovate us. And it's in Corinthians where it talks about Christ being the cornerstone of the foundation. And if any man build thereon, gold, silver, and precious stones, he shall receive a reward. And we're to grow. And so why build? Even personally, how about congregationally? We're built up. We're built up. Why built? We're built up and fitly framed together unto a holy temple. And so not just as God grows us, not just as God builds us, but also as God grows and God builds Brimley Baptist Church, every family that is added, every person that's saved and follows in a believer's baptism. Why build? But Nehemiah is speaking specifically, obviously, about the facility. And in Numbers chapter 6, verse number 15, spoiler alert, look at it, verse 15. So the wall was finished. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. The wall was finished. What two other groups that started that tried to do that failed to do that. Nehemiah, by God, was there, and the wall was finished. The wall was finished in 52 days. But the question is, why build personally? Reading our Bible and praying, why build? Why build our family, our marriage? Why do we build? Why do we build our congregationally and to see a church grow or even a facility? Put down number one, because the wall was built, people were convinced of the reality of God. Because the wall was built, people were convinced, and I don't have any notes for you, and just take them if you want to, but people were convinced of the reality of God. And of course, verse number 15, the wall was finished in 52 days. Look at 16. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. They perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Listen, we build because it shows a lost and dying world. People are convinced of the reality of God when they see, yes, a building built, yes, when they see a congregation built, but when they see someone's life changed, someone's life changed. And by the way, what if they stopped halfway through 26 days? They stopped halfway through 26 days, or someone that says, well, I went to church for a year, and now I'm not going to be a part of an organized religion anymore. And that conviction, that influence, that testimony, we're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. But those that, who did hinder you? Who did hinder you? You ran a good race, but who did hinder you from obeying the truth? And so if we don't finish the work building-wise, finish the work the congregationally-wise or personally-wise, I think about Luke chapter 14. For which of you intending to build a tower, and if it's only half done, then those walking by will mock at the fact that it's only half built. It's only half built. It's only half built. But when the wall was finished, people were convinced of the reality of God. Listen, Nehemiah didn't just teach them facts about God, and he did that. Nehemiah didn't just quote verses concerning God. And he did that, but more than that, Nehemiah gave them tangible proof that we serve a living God. Tangible proof. You can deny an argument, you cannot deny a changed life. You can deny an argument, but you cannot deny what God is doing here at Brimley Baptist Church. And that's what our family needs. Boy, our family that they know we go to church and they know that we're Christians, and our family that we've invited, our family that we've told about the Lord, more than they need convicting lessons, they need to see a convincing life. A life that's built up. A church that's blessed. A place that's expanding for the glory of God. And yes, they know the lessons, and yes, they've heard the verses, but more than that, they need to see a building program personally, a building program congregationally, and yes, also a building program with regards to a facility. I like the three things about this verse. The wall was built up, 15. So the wall was finished. The wall was built up.
The enemy was cast down. Look at 16. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. And so the wall was built up. The enemy was cast down. But primarily the Lord was high and lifted up. Look at verse number 16. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God.
I think about Psalm 126, right up here, listen. It's referencing this, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion.
That's what they're going through. That's what is happening here. Their captivity, they're released, they're going back, they're building.
When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. A parallel verse to the heathen perceived that the work was wrought of God. I think about the maniac of the Gadareans. Can you imagine a dude that was running around naked in tombs and in caves, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Can you even imagine that? And then one day he met the Lord, and the after he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Boy, what a building program. Boy, what a building program. And the Lord said, go home to your friends and family and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for you. By the way, where they were asking him to depart after those swine ran down, the devils cast into them, the swine ran down and drowned themselves. They committed suicide. And so after that, they said, depart from our coast, depart from our coast. But when he came back the next time, because that one changed life, when he came back the next time, there was multitudes in that area that were seeking him. How about the woman at the well? That Samaritan woman at Sychar's well, remember she was married to five guys and the one that she was with wasn't her husband. Anybody remember that at all? And the Lord brought her to himself. She got gloriously saved. And the Bible says that she went into the town and almost the whole town came out and believed on him for her testimony. A building program personally, I think about Lazarus that was raised from the dead. The Bible says in John, that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And so, listen, that building program personally, boy, we have family and friends that are watching us, that are looking to see if our life matches up with our words. And if we do serve for a while, we stop praying. We do serve for a while. We stop reading. And we do serve for a while, but then nothing. But listen, on the other hand, boy, if we're faithfully, steadfastly serving the Lord for the glory of God, that's what convinces them. They perceive that that work is wrought of God. Congregationally the same way, and our facilities the same way. So why build? Number one, people became convinced of the reality of God. Put down number two. Not only the result of the build, when the wall was finished, people were convinced of the reality of God. That's chapter 6. Look down at chapter 7. Look at verse number 1. Verse number 1. Now it came to pass when, say that word, when. Now it came to pass when the wall was built. It's a verse that basically intros chapter 7, 8, and 9. The first six chapters is how was that wall built? And the next several chapters are what was the result of that wall being built. And so number two, the wall's finished and people were convinced of the reality of God. The wall's finished, number two, and people became committed to the Word of God. To the Word of God. Because the building was done, because the wall was finished, people became committed, convinced of the reality of God, but even more than that, they were committed to the Word of God. When people see that God's real, they'll commit to God's Word. Look at chapter 8. And all of this is a result of
Yes, reasons why we build, but now the results of the wall being finished, they committed to the word of God. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of God, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the book, but he brought the law before the congregation, 3. And he read from the book therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until the midday before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book. Bring the book of the law, 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, 8. So they read in the book, 12. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they understood the word, 13. And on the second day,
it wasn't just a Sunday morning revival. It was the second day, tomorrow.
And the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers and the people, the priests, Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. 18, also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And then in chapter 9, verse number 3, and they stood up in their place and read in the book.
Listen. When they saw all that God had done for them, they committed to the book that God gave to them. When they saw that this isn't just a dusty, antiquated book of history, this is God's word given from his heart to us. They were convinced of the reality of God, but then also they committed themselves to the word of God. Why build? Why build? Put down number 3. Why build? Because people become converted by the word of God. And so the wall was built and people were convinced of the reality of God. We saw that. People became committed to the word of God. We saw that. And now people not only reading the book, their life is converted because of the book. They became converted. Why build? Boy, I'm giving you the reasons, the divine reasons why we build. Personally and build, congregationally and build, the facility. Not only did they commit themselves to the Bible, they let the Bible convert them. Look at verse number 14, 15. I'll just kind of explain it to you. As they were reading the word, they found this Feast of the Tabernacles, which celebrated how God covered them with that pillar of cloud, covered them, that pillar of fire in the Old Testament as they were going through the wilderness, and that the tabernacles, which consisted of making booths and celebrating that way. Look at 16 of chapter 8. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths. Hey, they didn't just hear the word of God. They acted on the word of God. When you leave church, you need to say, okay, what next? Okay, what do I do with that? There was a person that came in late. I don't know if you guys have people that come in late. Half our church comes in late. But anyway, a person coming in late, and they asked an usher at the back door, they said, is the sermon done yet? Is the sermon done yet? And the wise usher said, no, the sermon's almost finished, but it's yet to be done. It's yet to be done. Because this isn't an end result, just coming in and hearing the word. Yeah, they committed themselves to the word of God, but more than that, they allowed the word of God to change their life, to adjust their personalities. They had actionable items from the word of God that they heard. They went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, 17. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of captivity made booths and sat under the booths. Pastor Billy, we were talking, it's never just about a building program. It's never just about a building. It's what happens in the building. People that are saved because they have a place to come. Young people that are taught, marriages that are strengthened. It's never just about a building. It's always about so much more than that. And so why build? The reasons for the build, the results of the build, people convinced the reality of God, committed to the word of God, converted by the word of God. And the one I like best, number four, if you're writing it down, because the wall was finished, people became compelled to worship God. Compelled to worship God. Listen, it's not just about bricks and mortar or steel and nails. It's divine reasons why Nehemiah finished the wall. Divine reasons why we need to continue to grow in our lives. Divine reasons why that give definite results. And this one, they became compelled to worship God. If you're in chapter 8, look at verse number 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Well, when you realize who God is, when you see what God can do, it almost is a supernaturally natural next step of bowing and praising and worshiping the one who did that. Well, it changed life. If you've ever had a son or a daughter that was straying, and moms that just are praying, dads that are working, when that child does come around, when that child does come back to the Lord, you talk about a worship service after that time. A building program compels that. Look at chapter 9, verse number 5, quickly. Verse number 5. We'll try to stay in passages starting tonight through Tuesday night, but we're kind of moving around. Look at verse number 5. Then the Levites and a bunch of other guys said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name. And so the command was, stand up and worship. But then the model was a very first person, personal worshiping of God. Look at it. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. 7, thou art the Lord God. 11, and thou didst divide the sea. 12, moreover, thou leddest them by day, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. 13, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai. 16, but they and our fathers dealt proudly. 17, refused to obey, but thou, art a God ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger. 19, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest not in the wilderness them. 20, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them. 21, yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them. 22, moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations and didst divide them into the corners. You know, I think Nehemiah right about now, when he saw the work that was put in, the sacrifice that was made, when he saw that the wall was finished and what effect it had, people convinced of the reality of God. People committed to the Word of God. People converted by the Word of God. And people compelled to worship God. I'm pretty sure Nehemiah would say, boy, I'm glad I stuck with it. I'm glad I kept working at it. I'm glad I kept. It's not Christianity is never a moment in time thing. But it's tomorrow morning waking up and opening up the Word of God, spending time reading and praying. Next week, involving and serving and jumping in. And Rome wasn't built in a day. It was burned down in one night, okay? But Rome wasn't built in a day. Boy, it's an ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. Hey, listen, we should always be in building programs. Always be. Always be. And let me just say a word. I want to close in prayer, but I want to say a word before we do. And what I think we need to focus on is, Lord, help me not give up on this building program. God, I pray that you'll continue to change me, to adjust me, to renew me, transform me. And then family-wise and extended family, God, build my family. And then, God, build my family, the church. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to build your facility. But before we do, let me just say this quickly. Those kind of decisions are always met with oppositions. Always. Always. There is going to be obstacles and opposition. And for Nehemiah, it had a name, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Their goal as let's arise and build, Nehemiah said. The people said, yes, let's arise and build. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, chapter 4, verse number 11, their motive was to cause the work to cease. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? There's going to be a who somewhere trying to hinder you. The devil is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour, trying to distract us. Boy, there's going to be opposition and obstacles. He wants to cause the work to cease. Chapter 4, verse 8, we'll see it, to fight against it. That's what they wanted to do, to hinder it. And verse number 11, to stop it. And then in chapter 6, the beginning of our passage that we started at, we see, yes, the reasons for the build. Yes, the results of the build. But then quickly, the resistance to the build. Can I give you 3 points and then we're going to pray? The resistance to the build, or more, our response to that resistance. Listen, right up here. Stay focused in spite of distractions. Stay focused in spite of distractions. In verse number 2, Sanballat and Tobiah, Geshem, they're trying to call for a meeting. Hey, get Nehemiah to come over here for a meeting. And they tried to do it 4 different times. Look at verse number 3. They're trying to distract him, trying to distract him. Nehemiah said of chapter 6, 3, I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? The devil's goal is to cause the work to cease. That work of grace in your heart. That work of grace in your home with your kids. That work of grace that he's doing here, that he's doing over there. Hey, the devil's goal is to cause the work to cease. But Nehemiah's goal is, I'm doing a great work. Why should the work cease? Stay focused in spite of the distractions. Let me give you number 2. Stay true in spite of defamation. Hey, listen, as soon as you say, I'm going to start reading my Bible tomorrow morning, the devil's going to give you 15 excuses on why you don't have time to do it. As soon as you say, well, I'm going to make church a priority, the devil's going to come along and give you a distraction here, a distraction there. And listen, you can't go forward without the devil pushing back. And so stay focused in spite of distractions. Number 2, stay true in spite of defamation. Verse 5, then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand. He posted it on Facebook. And with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith that thou and the Jews think to rebel. Boy, it's amazing that questioning someone's motives didn't start today. Questioning someone's motives started way back then. They're building this to rebel. They're building this to rebel. For which cause? That's why. Thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king. Nehemiah, it's all about your ego. Nehemiah, it's all about your narcissism and your pride. And so that defamation, questioning the motives, questioning the mission. You want to be their king according to these words, 7. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee. Hey, listen, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for his sake. But here they are accusing him of wrong motives and accusing him of self-centered. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there's a king in Judah, Nehemiah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel. They're distracting. They're defaming. They're trying to sidetrack. And they're trying to slander. Listen, those that set big goals are always criticized by those who have no goals. If you never want to be criticized, don't ever build anything. Don't ever achieve anything. and don't ever do anything. But if you do, criticism will always come. And you're going to see it in chapter 2. We're going to see it again in chapter 4. They laughed him to scorn. They despised him. They Sanballat and Tobiah. It grieved them exceedingly that there was one that came to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. And say they really knew his heart, but they were maligning and misrepresenting that heart. And then number 3, we're done. Stay focused in spite of distractions. If you started reading your Bible through in January, get back in it if you stumbled. Get back in it if you ended up letting it go by. If you used to serve in the nursery, used to serve in a Sunday school class. Hey, we're always in building programs. We're always in building programs, personally, spiritually, with our family, congregationally, and even with a facility. Number 3, stay focused in spite of distraction. Stay true in spite of defamation. Stay the course in spite of danger. In spite of danger. Look at verse number 10. If you're still in chapter 6, you say, Pastor, we've been so many places. I don't know where we're at. But anyway, chapter 6, verse number 10. They tried to sidetrack him. They slandered him, and they tried to scare him. Look at verse 10. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of a long name that's hard to pronounce, who was shut up, and he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple." Now, this isn't distractions on the outside. This is divisions on the inside. Just Shemaiah, that's who he is. And so let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Nehemiah, you're going to be killed. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And so Shemaiah is trying to rattle his foundation, his confidence, his courage. Once in a while, it's funny, when the church is small as a pastor, you get letters of encouragement all the time, because people assume that no one's encouraging him. He needs encouragement. I'm going to send a note of encouragement. It's funny. I think it's a diffusion of responsibility is probably the wrong phrase, but the bigger a church gets, the more everyone assumes that the pastor is getting all kinds of encouraging notes and all kinds of encouraging texts. Why would I do that? And it ends up going from when the church is small, a lot of encouragement, but then as the church grows, inversely, that encouragement wanes. And it's just a funny thing. And so here he is, Shemaiah, during a work, right in the middle, neck deep in it. Boy, he's discouraging Nehemiah. Look at verse number 12. But Nehemiah, "Lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid." They tried to sidetrack. They slandered. They tried to scare. "That I should be afraid and do so in sin to come down off the work, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me." And again, Nehemiah's response was, "Should such a man as I flee?" Verse number 11, "Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go." I do want to take a time of prayer and dedication. And yes, facility, but more congregationally, even more with your family. How about personally? God, I don't want this building program to stop. God, I want you to continue to stretch me. By the way, the hardest building program we've ever been through, and we've seen tens of millions of dollars worth of buildings built and bought and renovated. I mean, just but the hardest building program I've ever been through is when God is building me. Listen, let God stretch you and edify you and make you more than what you were. That stretching isn't always comfortable. It's sacrificial. It's a faith thing. And so I want to just take a moment to say, Lord, I'm not going to be distracted. Lord, it doesn't matter if there's defamation that comes in. I'm not, should such a man as I flee, I'm not going to give up on the he which hath begun a good work in you. Boy, he'll be faithful to complete it, but it's a matter of are we going to be faithful to continue to allow it, to submit to it. And so I'd like to just start at the end and then start by stopping and just dedicating the next couple of messages as we see how Nehemiah approached that build that they had. We've already given divine reasons for the build. And we've seen definite results because of the build. But it all starts right here. Am I willing to yield, to submit, and to let God stretch? Lord, I do pray. Lord, my part isn't the revival. You've already started the revival in the hearts of those that are drawing closer to you, that are seeking your face, that are asking you to do something special in this time. And Lord, you're the only one that can. But God, with regards to building programs personally, Lord, help us to just determine we're going to be faithful. We're going to be sacrificial. Lord, I want to submit right now, in your own quietness, in your place. Lord, I want what you want. I want you to be the potter. I want to be the clay. Mold me and make me any way that you want. It's going to be stretching. It's going to hurt at times. But God, I pray that your will be done in my life. We join the heart of our hero and say, yes, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, I don't want the easy way. I don't want the comfortable way. Lord, I want your way. Your will in my home. Your will with my kids. Your will with regards to the church, to the ministry. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, right now we submit. We give ourselves to you. And by the way, in this moment, if you've never received Christ, boy, seek one of us out afterwards. We'll take as much time as you need to answer any question that you have. Show you whatever verses you need clarity with. Biggest decision you'll ever make is to start that building program of being saved. And then, of course, being baptized. But Lord, I pray blessings on the next couple of days, the next several messages. And we pray that a year from now, we'll see buildings that have been built up called by names, people, families, people that are doing more next year, that are closer to you, more faithful, more Christ-like because of what we've decided today. Lord, build us, grow us, stretch us as a person, as a church, as a facility, and we'll give all the glory and all the praise. Lord, it's your church, and you're doing a great job with it. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's just take one more second. You know, there was a lot of, it was rich this morning, rich. And I couldn't help think about Nehemiah. God used Nehemiah in a great way to do a great work, but he had to let God work on him first. I wonder how many Nehemiahs are in here who are willing to surrender to the crazy work calling that God's wanting to do in you and through you. It's bigger than you. And before Nehemiah impacted anybody else, he had to let God impact him. We're all called to do great things. We serve a great God, King of kings and Lord of lords. Humble yourself to him. Let God's word work in you, through you, to see that transformed marriage,
to see, you know, that relationship restored with your children, to, you know, step out by faith to see God, you know, do that great work in your life in 53 days, that His name would be glorified, that His name would be honored, that the enemy would be much cast down, that people would see it. And I love that when people see the work in you, man, then it draws them to work for the Lord. Then it draws them to the Word of God. And then I love how the Word of God compels us to actually obey it. I wonder if there's anybody in here who knows their next step. You know what God's telling you to do. Maybe it's to be baptized. Maybe it is to start giving or sacrifice or serving. You know, take those steps. Maybe you're taking those steps and you know, the slander's coming, all of those things. Hey, don't stop. Don't stop. I'm excited. Pray in how God spoke to you. As the worship team comes, pray it in, act on it, live it out. Father, we're blessed. I pray that your word would just continue to be that goad, that nail that's in our heart. Lord, that would just go with us today, and that, Father, it would just be the spark of the continued flame that will shine bright, burn bright for you. Father, you know the hearts of your people, and I pray that your Holy Spirit and your Word of God would just do what man cannot. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.